HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 225, recorded live Thursday, July 29th, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks about Enhibernate with Jason Dentler.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we're talking today about Enhibernate with author Jason Dentler. He's author of a book called Enhibernate 3 Cookbook from Pact Publishing. It'll be out later this year, and one of the nice things about this book is that Pact Publishing will be donating a portion of the revenue from the Enhibernate 3 Cookbook back to the Enhibernate open source project, so this is great. Thanks, Jason, for sitting down and chatting with me today.
Hi, Scott. It's great to be here.
So I did a couple of shows recently about Entity Framework, and I've been thinking about Entity Framework. This is the Microsoft way to talk to a database, and I haven't done a show on Enhibernate, and I want to make sure that everybody gets heard. And Enhibernate's been one of those things where I've heard about it a lot, and I've danced around it, I've orbited it a little bit, done a couple of small projects, but I'm just not like hardcore. I don't quite get it. So can you tell me, what is Enhibernate? You know, what's the heritage? Where did it come from?
Okay. Well, Enhibernate is an object relational mapper, just like Entity Framework. It started as a Java project called Hibernate back in around 2001 or so.
Wow. So it's like 10 years old. It's mature.
Yeah. Around 2003 or so, some guys got together and started porting it over to .NET 1.1. From there, we added generics with version 2, brought up feature parity along with Hibernate 3, and then here we are today at version 3.
We is just it significant that it came from Java? Like, is that meaningful in some way? Like, does it feel like Java, or does it have Java-ish stuff in it, or is it just that the original idea and name came from Java?
Well, no, there's actually some of the vocabulary is taken straight from Java, like in our entity mappings, you know, we use the term maps instead of dictionary. Mm-hmm. In .NET, it's dictionary. In Java, it's maps.
Oh, I see.
Also, in the mapping, we use the term extends, which is how Java basically subclasses a class.
Okay. So you said object relational mapper. So this is something that takes my objects, and like if I have a person object and it has first name and last name, and it describes what it's going to take to persist that into a relational database, hence object relational mapper, right?
Right.
Is this a bunch of DLLs that I download? Is this a program? I mean, like, how do I get started with this? How do I sit down and start using this? How do I persist my person?
Okay. Well, let me just take you through the whole process. First of all, you're going to go and download our assemblies. We're hosted on SourceForge. Just Google for Enhibernate SourceForge. It'll take you right there. Mm-hmm. Download the Enhibernate 3 Alpha 1. It's rock solid. You know, it's still alpha, but it's rock solid. People are using it in production already.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. There's going to be a couple of DLLs in there. You'll have enhibernate.dll. That's sort of the Enhibernate core.
Okay.
From there, you will have Enhibernate bytecode castle.dll. Okay. That is our proxy framework. We support Castle proxies, Linfu proxies, and Spring proxies. Proxies is just a term. It's basically what we use to support lazy loading. We're going to take your class and in runtime inherit from it and add on all of our lazy loading support on top of that.
Okay. So yes. Does this mean if I have a person and that person has an address, I could have that person object, I'm a C-sharp or a VB programmer, and I say person P, and then I say P.address, and when you say lazy loading, it's the moment when I access address that it will go to the database? Is that what you mean by lazy
loading? That's exactly right, yes.
Okay. I see. And then the dynamic proxy is the thing that makes that possible. Will my person object look all like database-y and Enhibernate-y, or will it just look like public class person?
No, actually, that's one of the core design principles in Hibernate. We believe very strongly in code first, POCOs. plain old CLR objects.
Okay.
You don't have to add attributes. You don't have to add any of this sort of persistence stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's complete persistence ignorance.
So does this mean that I can take an existing object that maybe I'm already working on and I can persist it? Or do you usually design your objects explicitly for going into the database?
Personally, I design my whole persistence model first, all of the classes that I want to persist, and then I build on top of that. But there's, you know, countless ways to go through that whole process.
Okay.
Yes, you could take an existing class and persist it later.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've got your DLLs, and I add references to them, and then what?
Well, you're going to first design your POCOs. So you'll build your person class, you'll build your address class. You will map from one to the other. I'm sorry, you will make a reference from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll start building your mappings. Within Hibernate, the default supported mapping is XML. So you will create an XML file, person.hbm.xml, and you will build this whole XML mapping. It's real easy. We ship XML schemas that you can drop into your solution so that Visual Studio will give you full IntelliSense when you're building your XML. And then you just set that as an embedded resource in your assembly.
Ah, so the XML file that tells me where what part of the object goes in what part of the database is embedded inside the DLL, so it's not loose and lying around. It's it's effectively code. Just happens to look like XML.
Right. That's exactly right.
Is that the only way to make a mapping? Because I've seen some of those files and they look kind of scary.
Yeah. There's lots of different ways. That's the only way that's built into InHibernate Core. We also have Fluent InHibernate. Basically, you build it with sort of a Fluent syntax with generics and lambdas and that sort of stuff. And that's all,
fluid,
you know, that's code, so you get full IntelliSense there.
So Fluent means kind of like writing a sentence?
Yes.
Like, you know, map the person object to the such and such table, and you like write it all out. Like you're writing C# as if it were a declaration.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And, yeah,
and that's something that's an add-on. Fluent and Hibernate I can add on, but it gives me all the same kind of functionality. It's just I don't have to deal with XML.
Right. To add on Fluent and Hibernate, you go to the Fluent and Hibernate project, download their DLL and reference it. And then from there, you just create a class map, which is just another POCO.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I've done my mapping. I've added my references. How do I connect to the database? Where's my connection string live?
There's a couple of different ways you can do configuration within Hibernate also. You can put it in your app.config as its own section. So you'll actually have a Hibernate-configuration section in your app.config. You can store it separately in an XML file. The default is hibernate.cfg.xml. You can change that if you like. We also have sort of a Fluent, not really Fluent, we call it Locatius, code syntax for configuring in Hibernate. And then Fluent in Hibernate also has a Fluent syntax for configuring in Hibernate. So you'll set your connection string in your app.config.
Okay.
From there, you'll build an InHibernate configuration object. So you'll just new up inhibernate.cfg.configuration. You'll call .configure. Now you've got a built configuration object. It's pulled in all of your mappings. It's loaded those up. It's reflected on your model, and it's ready to go. From there, you call .buildSessionFactory, and now you've got a session factory. That's sort of the one singleton entry point into InHibernate. You have
session
one session factory per application.
Okay. And the session, is InHibernate usually used for web applications, or is it just that I usually see it for web applications? Because I see when someone starts a request, they start a session, and then when this request ends, they end a session.
Right. You can use InHibernate for any type of application. One of the most common scenarios is web applications, web forms, MVC, you name it. And what you just talked about was session per request, where you start a session when the request begins, you close the session when the request ends.
But a session is not a connection?
No, a session is not a connection. The session is the unit of work. It's sort of a code pattern. That's find out on Martin Fowler's website and a couple of other places. Basically, what you're doing is building up a list of all the changes that you've made to your entities. So you may insert a person, change an address, delete another person, and then you flush that whole session of work or that whole unit of work down to the database all at once. So the connection is only open when you're flushing.
Can I have multiple units of work within a session?
You can start a unit of work by opening the session, do some work, flush it, then keep using the session and flush it again. You don't have to open a new session each time.
Okay. Sometimes I get the impression that nHibernate is hard. And I tried to sit down and work with it yesterday, and I found that there were bits of it all kind of spread all over the web. You know, is this an... I think and I'm saying this as a person who wants to use it. Like, it feels like I have to work to want to get excited about using nHibernate. That doesn't seem like a technical limitation, though. It just seems like it's just not fun to make websites that are really have documentation and to screenshots and download and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what do you think? Is nHibernate hard?
No, nHibernate is definitely not hard. But like you said, we are scattered all across the web. It's sort of a loose community of projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have nHibernate Core, we have Fluent nHibernate, there's the Conform project, we have a couple of Contrib projects, then there's Sharp Architecture, which is kind of using nHibernate to build an entire web app. You know, and so we are scattered all across the web. You know, that we have a real problem with marketing nHibernate. You know, we're all programmers. We don't have designers, we don't have marketers, we don't have technical writers for our project.
Seems like that's an open source problem. I mean, ultimately, like with DOSBlog, which is a smaller, much less significant little application, we had this guy, Tom Watts, who was just this amazing organizer. You know, he wasn't a programmer, but he runs the forums. You know, to this day, he's still in the forums. He maintained the website. He paid for having a website. He funneled all of us idiot programmers that were trying to put the thing together into a cohesive team. He effectively herded the cats. Is that a challenge to do that? Do you think you'll become, are you that person for nHibernate maybe?
No, I wouldn't say so. I don't think anybody's really picked up that role. You know, it used to be nHibernate was sort of managed by this company called JBoss. So if you actually go out to Google right now and just Google for nHibernate, the first link is going to take you to jboss.org, which that hasn't been the home of nHibernate for, I don't know, a couple of years now. The home of nHibernate on the web is nhforge.org. We have blogs, tons of people posting on the blog. We have a wiki. We have links to downloads, all that sort of stuff. But we don't really have sort of a centralized message out on the web.
Hi, this is Scott. I just want to remind you guys that there's no show without a sponsor. Somebody's got to pay for all this bandwidth, and the more popular the show becomes, the more important it is that we thank our sponsors, folks like Telerik. Now, I want to let you guys know that Telerik has got a pretty cool deal going between June 1st, 2010 and August 31st, 2010. Any interested listener, just send an email to podcast@telerik.com. Mention Hansel Minutes, and they will reply, and they'll give you a special $50 off coupon code. So just remember, podcast@telerik.com. Mention Hansel Minutes, $50 off. This goes until August 31st, 2010. And big thanks again for the folks at Telerik for believing in our show and for continuing to help pay for our expenses. Yeah, I went to nhibernate.com. It looks like a consulting company has that, but they have been kind enough to put links to NHForge, the SourceForge, and the Fluent nHibernate. Maybe we could get those guys to give up that domain or make it more tidy. But you're right. I'm looking here. I see Wikipedia. I see SourceForge. I see NHForge. Okay. But the point is that even though it's spread around a little bit, that's not a reason for someone to not use it. But I think it might make people more afraid just because it's not like, you know, subsonic.com, boom, download now. You know what I mean?
Right. That's exactly right. You know,
yeah.
If you want to go to the one place on the web for in Hibernate information, you should go to nhforge.org. And we are working to consolidate stuff there. We're bringing in a whole bunch of bloggers. We're adding people to post on the wikis. We're really making an effort to consolidate things so that that's not such a problem anymore.
So I'm visiting NH. Here we go. See, this is nice. Look at this. NHForge, home, blog, download, groups, reference. This is nice. Yeah, this is really cool. Yeah, see, this is a very nice. I should have gone here yesterday. I was running around on SourceForge because I assumed that's where things lived, and I was having trouble finding things there. See, now you've got a nice reference documentation for version 2 as well. It's almost like a kind of a little mini book here just to get people started.
Yeah, and we're in the process of updating that for NH3.
Mm-hmm. So what's new in Inheritance 3? What are the kind of things that people can get excited about? And is NH3 a good time for people to jump in and try Inhibernate?
Absolutely. You know, we still have all of the features from NH2. You know, we still have Hibernate query language. We still have the criteria API, and we still support SQL. You know, we can do crazy stuff with stored procedures and all of that business. What we've added, basically we've moved from .NET 2.0 to .NET 3.5. So we get all of the goodness of lambdas and link and all of that kind of stuff. So like I mentioned, the locatious configuration, the code configuration, that's all brand new in Hibernate 3. For the first time ever, we have a real actual in Hibernate link provider. That was mostly written by Steve Strong from iMeta. We have about 300 unit tests behind that. It's rock solid. It's ready to go. It's built on
So this is link to in Hibernate. So like if I'm a link I use link to SQL myself a lot. And I'm just now starting to move over to Entity Framework. Mm-hmm. So the same link that I'm using in those two, I can use in Hibernate, and it'll feel like home?
Absolutely. Yeah, to get to the iQueryable, it's real easy. You just import the inhibernate.link namespace, and then you'll write your link statement from p.in.session.querypost, where p.author equals S. Hanselman. You know, just your standard link.
And I saw that there's tools around this. There's tooling that supports it. Like we said, it is spread around a little bit, but then again, Microsoft spread around a little bit. So there's like a profiler, because like when you just said you were describing a link query, I was thinking to myself, well, what SQL is it making?
Right.
I know I can look in SQL profiler, but doesn't Orin have an Inhibernate profiler out there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. He wrote an Inhibernate profiler. It's a great tool. It is a commercial tool. It's not open source, so you do have to pay for it. But if you're working within Hibernate, that's definitely the way to go. It's fully integrated. When your application runs a SQL statement, it will show up in Hibernate Profiler. It will tell you if anything's wrong with it, what's wrong with it. It'll give you a full stack trace. You can double-click on a stack frame in the stack trace, and it will bounce you back into that exact location in Visual Studio. It's really cool. Highly recommended.
That's cool. That's pretty integrated then. So it sounds like if I'm using Inhibernate in a professional sense, I might want to buy a couple of small products from a couple of different vendors.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like it's going to break the bank.
No. All of these are very cheap. And you don't really need them. It just makes it much easier to work with, you know, but it's not required. For the amateur that just wants to try writing a blog, you know, a blog engine behind it, that's the way to go.
And if I need help, is it just go, you know, do I have to go Google with Bing and figure that out? Or who's going to help me if I'm kind of all alone?
Well, it depends how far you want to take that. We can answer your questions on the Google group. We have NH users is the name of our Google group. If you need professional support, you can get it through Orin's company, Hibernating Rhinos.
So there's basically Orin's company is behind this in the sense of that a large enterprise could have backing by
an expert. Absolutely.
And That's cool.
Yeah, so you can get professional support through Hibernating Rhinos with Oren, or through iMeta, Steve Strong's company. So two different directions to go. You know, and that's sort of, you know, the way I think about that, it's like calling up Microsoft product support and your ticket gets assigned to Phil Hack if it's an MVC issue.
I see.
You know, so you will get taken care of.
What kind of tooling is there? Is there a designer? Like, I think that Microsoft people get accused of being lame when we drag tables around on design surfaces. And, you know, there's always that constant, does a visual designer rot your brain, or should you just do it all in Notepad, you know? Does syntax coloring, like, you know, rot your brain? Does IntelliSense rot your brain? You said that you get IntelliSense for the XML, and you get IntelliSense for the Fluent interface, so, you know, you do get helped along. Is there any kind of a visual designer, or is there a product that does visual design for nHibernate?
Well, in Hibernate Core, we sort of made a design decision up front. It's just POCOS. That's where we start. That's where we stop. Now, there's all sorts of add-ons to that. Like you said, you know, you can drop the schema into your Visual Studio project and you'll get IntelliSense. And that's just built into Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, there are some commercial products out there with designers. There's a company called Slice Software, S-L-Y-C-E. They have a tool called Visual in Hibernate that lets you do some dragging and dropping and building stuff that way. There's also LLBL Gen Pro by a guy by the name of Franz Burma, and he's actually really big on the NH users group, helping people out. So we really appreciate his contribution back to nHibernate.
Yeah, LLBL Gen is pretty amazing because it not only supports nHibernate, but also, you know, Entity Framework, including the new version, as well as Link to SQL. So you can basically use his designer for all of your projects, regardless. It's pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's really great. You know, one of the new things with in Hibernate 3, we've sort of rebuilt our Hibernate query language on top of the Antler, Lexer, and Parser. Steve Strong did a lot of that work for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Antler gives us, we can sort of integrate that with Visual Studio Language Services. So there's a guy by the name of Jose Ramaniello who has written an actual gallery, a Visual Studio gallery code project called HQL Add-In.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll go to Tools, Extension Manager, Online Gallery, and then search for HQL Add-In. And you'll get this great little tool where you can create .hql files and you get full syntax checking, full syntax coloring. And then he's also going to be adding IntelliSense in the next few days for Hibernate query language queries.
Wow.
So all of that is, instead of being a separate third-party tool, all of that's going to be integrated into Visual Studio now.
So it's interesting. You have to kind of walk a fine line. I mean, you've got a bunch of different projects that are all doing a bunch of different things and different versions, and that in itself is a strength. And as a core tenant, the nHibernate core team has said POCOs are our bread and butter. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to start doing drag and drop designers. We're not going to even go and do Fluent nHibernate. You know, it's our core engine, and we're going to focus on being the core engine. And then you've got people kind of orbiting around it and doing all sorts of different stuff. That makes it a strong, almost like its own open source ecosystem. But then from an onboarding perspective, it's challenging because, you know, I want to use nHibernate 3 alpha. Do I have to go get a special version of Fluent nHibernate? Will they be bundled together? You know, where's the instant nHibernate, get all the useful stuff? I guess that's probably in your book, but the, you know, the best practice in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you mentioned before, it is herding cats.
Yeah, exactly. I think sometimes people use the Microsoft product because it's out of the box. It's in fact, you know, mostly complete. And what do you think about when people say, well, why didn't Microsoft just use nHibernate? Why did they write Entity Framework at all? What's your personal take on that?
You know, I think it's just another alternative. I think Microsoft at the time probably wasn't quite as big into open source. And so they just kind of went down their link road. And Entity Framework is where they ended up. And I think it's a great product. And, you know, I think we can both coexist.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, I know that there are people who think other ways, but from my point of view, if you're using whatever you're using, if you're getting the job done and you're feeling good about your job and you're doing it on the CLR, then you're in the .NET space and good for you. I mean, it really is that simple.
Right. You know, and at the end of the day, in Hibernate is just about getting the job done. Mm-hmm. You know, we started with POCOs and that's where we stop. If that's all you need, great. Use us and we're ready to go. If you need all this extra third-party stuff, you know, mm-hmm. we've got a whole community ecosystem built around us. And you can pick and choose the different Lego bricks that you need to use.
Mm-hmm. I love the Lego metaphor. I've been using that lately.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying that, like, not just Microsoft, but open source in general, that the Legos are the right size now. You know, it's not like a giant Lego, BizTalk, SharePoint, and then a little tiny Lego. It's just like this tiny Log4Net. You know, that everything is about the right size, and that you can, that the idea that you can swap things out and they are appropriately sized is powerful. Now, I think we probably said this earlier, but I want to make sure it was clear. What are the databases that nHibernate can talk to?
Well, of course, we support SQL Server, starting with version 7 all the way up through 2008. SQL CE, Azure. Let's see. We support Oracle, starting with version 8. MySQL, DB2, Informix, Sybase, Firebird, SQL.
Wow, how do you test all this?
It's a community. All of our
units.
So
you're seriously testing like
server.
Sybase still?
I'm sorry.
Like people are out there testing this. How many people are doing this? This is amazing. How many people are doing that? And who sits down and says, "Yeah, go get my old SQL Server 7 version and let's get that tested"? Who's that guy?
Well, we don't probably test every single version of SQL Server, but we do have uh-huh. different dialects. So, like, we have the SQL 7 dialect
uh-huh.
that sort of has all of the SQL syntax for Microsoft SQL Server. And then any new syntax in version 2000, that's added mm-hmm. on top. And we just subclass the SQL 7 dialect for SQL 2000. And so it just builds on top of that.
Wow.
So we have all these unit tests. We run everything for SQL Server. And then before we make a great big release, they sort of divvy up, okay, I'm going to test Oracle. You go test MySQL. You test these on DB2. Go test Informix, SQLite, et cetera, et cetera.
Divide and conquer.
Exactly. It's one of the great things about having a huge community behind the project.
Mm-hmm. You just make the call. You just put the call out and say, let's all push behind this.
Yeah, and actually that call doesn't even go into NH users. That even just stays within the dev list. You know, I mean, there's probably a dozen committers on nHibernate alone, just the core.
Mm-hmm. How do you coordinate that?
Well, that's all managed by Fabio Mallow. He's the nHibernate project leader, and it's just kind of black magic. He just gets it done.
It's amazing what a really good leader will do in that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do you describe it? You just don't, but it works. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, he's very, one of the things I've said about Fabio, I can have a 5-minute IM chat session with him,
mm-hmm.
and I will have ideas for open source projects and nHibernate add-ons to keep me busy for 3 months, just from a little 5-minute IM conversation.
Wow. Is he working on this full time? Is someone sponsoring him, or does he have a regular job?
He's just got a regular job, just like the rest of us. This is all just out of the kindness of his heart.
I tell you, open source is such a thankless job.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the last things that I wanted to talk about was that last week, the Entity Framework came out with a new CTP, Community Technology Preview. I call it the Magic Unicorn Edition because it's got a lot of really cool stuff that means I don't have to make a database, and it's got a lot more conventions, and it seems to embrace POCO a lot more. And I was just curious what kinds of features that are in and Hibernate. So if someone likes those features and they want to compare the two products, what can they look at in and Hibernate?
Sure. Okay. Well, like I said before, we started with Pocos and that's where we stop with in Hibernate core. So sort of the code first Poco design stuff, that's just core in Hibernate. You get that straight out of the box.
Okay.
If you want to go with sort of the attributes, you know, all the data annotation stuff, we have a contrib project called in Hibernate mapping attributes. And so you go out to nhcontrib, download this one extra DLL, and start decorating attributes all over your entities. You know, if you're looking for sort of the equivalent of the model builder, you know, well, that would be fluent in Hibernate. You know, you can do sort of all of the code mapping stuff through Fluent in Hibernate. If you're looking for conventions, well, Fluent in Hibernate has an auto mapper. So you basically just point it at your POCOs and it figures everything out. The same thing with conform. If you follow a set of conventions, you can point the conform project at your POCOs and it will build all of your mappings.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so that's interesting. So we've got three options now. We've got the XML option, the Fluent option, and the conventions one, where we'll build the conventions without you seeing them. We'll build the mapper, rather, without you seeing them, based entirely on convention and naming.
Absolutely. And the conform project, especially, all of the conventions are pluggable. So if you don't like the one that comes out of the box, you can swap it for your own.
Who makes the database? Like, do you make the database, and who actually makes the schema and creates the database and puts the, you know, makes the tables?
In Hibernate Core comes with a little class. It's in the HBM2DDL namespace. And that stands for Hibernate Mapping to Data Definition Language. Basically, it looks at your mapping, it reflects on your POCOs, and it spits out a SQL script for building your database. You can point it, give it a connection, and point it at a server, and it will build your database. And you're done. You can also build it by hand. If you have a legacy database, you know, you can, we have third-party tools that can sort of reverse engineer that into mappings and into POCOs. You can go from POCOs to mappings to database, from database to mappings to POCOs, you know, any which way, all with third-party tools.
Do you think that you guys will support the new SQL Server Compact Edition? Do you think you maybe already do? Because it's built
SQL
in?
SQL CE? ADO? Absolutely, yeah. We support it.
Oh, you already do?
Yes.
Oh, rock on. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I hope that a lot of people have had their eyes opened by the fact that this is out there. And I know that choice always makes, having choice always makes choice difficult. But I want people to have both sides of the story, and I always like to point to nHibernate as really one of the .NET open source community's kind of like flagship products. I mean, it's well run, it's well thought of, it's well tested. It's a great learning tool. I downloaded the source yesterday. I was actually using the source for nHibernate to test my new computer to see how fast I could compile it on my machine.
Yeah, it's a pretty big project.
Yeah, it's extremely large. It's extremely large. There's a lot going on there. And yeah, I was able to build it in 30 seconds. I felt pretty good about that.
Yeah. You know, and the last point I want to make is just, nHibernate is out there in the real world. It's used by big companies, small companies, amateurs. I mean, you know, nHibernate is going to be used to run the new Channel 9 website. I just saw a video about that this morning.
Rock on. That's pretty cool. Congratulations. When does your book, nHibernate 3 Cookbook, come out?
It should be out in late October, early November, around the same time as the official nHibernate 3 release.
Okay. And like we mentioned before in the show, that if you buy nHibernate 3 Cookbook from Pact Publishing, then they'll donate a portion of the revenue back to nHibernate, which is fantastic as well.
Yes, it is.
Well, thanks so much, Jason Dentler, for sitting down and chatting with me today about nHibernate.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Great to be here.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.